Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know something? We're all guilty of breaking this verse, of boasting of tomorrow, of looking down the road, and making plans without considering how quickly things may change. We're always thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do this weekend, what we're going to do next month, what we're going to do on vacation, what we're going to do this summer, what we're going to do when we retire. But you know something? We better watch out thinking like that. According to this verse, he says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What a day may bring forth. That's true. Things can change in a hurry. Not too many years ago, there were a lot of airline pilots that were flying and making plans for their retirement, and they were excited about what was getting ready to happen in the future when they retired, big retirement accounts and whatever else they'd been able to build up. Then suddenly, some men decided that they wanted to make an attack, a terroristic attack on the United States of America, and flew some jets into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and into a field there in Pennsylvania. Everything changed in a day. Everything changed in a moment. And many of the airline pilots who were counting on their retirement accounts to take care of them when they retired suddenly found all that had been laid aside for them wiped out. Enron employees coming to work in the heyday of the Enron Corporation, very excited about what they were going to get ready to do with the money they had made this year, the money they had saved for retirement whenever they retired. And one day, it was discovered that the accounting was wrong. Some other problems arose as a result. Bang! Everything changed in a day. How many people do you know that set up for retirement and died before then? Or ended up seriously ill and couldn't enjoy their retirement right after they retired? I mean, there are myriad examples in your life. There are myriad examples in my life. You see, what we have to remember from the verse of Scripture that we are reading in Proverbs chapter 27 is that things change in a hurry. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You have absolutely no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. None. You don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. You may die tonight. Some people get illnesses that strike so quickly, within 3 days they're dead. You could have a car wreck on the way home. You could go into a convenience store to buy a bottle of water to drink on the way home and be shot by a thief. There are many things that can go wrong. You could have a heart attack and suddenly, unexpectedly, be removed from this life to the next instantly. Instantly. How many people do you know that were going about their ordinary course of the day, strong, healthy, with no indication whatsoever that they were facing death imminently? They knew they would die someday, but not that day. And then suddenly, because of a heart attack, a stroke, an aneurysm, a car wreck, a gunshot wound, a disease, they're gone. A snake bite. I mean, there's any kind of thing that can get you out of here in a hurry. So you say, well, tomorrow, this is what I'm going to do. You're not sure about that. You have no idea. Only God knows. You can't boast about that. Listen, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he spoke with his disciples about, you know, lots of things, all of this recorded in what's typically referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. One of the things he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, he said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Did you hear what he said? He said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, he was talking about the things that normally concern you and I, or normally concern you and me in our daily lives. He told them, leading into that verse, he said, you can't serve God and mammon. He says, take no thought for your life in 6:25, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Don't worry about that stuff. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The fowls of the air, he says, behold them, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You believe it? Do you believe that verse of Scripture? Then why are we all the time worried about it? You know, it's so funny, really, when you think about it. Typical, stereotypical situation before going out for a social event with your spouse, you know, the husband now, looking at his wife, she opens the door to her closet, or the doors to her closet, if she's got a big one, and inside she has enough clothes to cause the clothes rack to bow in the middle. And she says to her husband, I don't have a thing to wear. Now, what she's saying is, you know, of all these things that I have nothing that I can wear to this social event tonight because it's either not appropriate, it doesn't fit because I've gained weight, I've worn it before, and I don't want these people to see me in the same thing that I've worn, any kind of thing like that. But you know what's interesting? My grandmother was a banker's wife, okay, and he was the chairman of the board. So they were involved in lots of social things. And we'd go to visit her when she was older, and one time then she became very ill, and we went to visit her, and my grandfather said, I want you to see something. And so we went to her closet, and he opened the door. There were two dresses in there. That's all. Why? Because it really did not make any difference to her anymore whether the people that she hung around with saw her in the same dress that they had seen her in a week or two before or not. It wasn't about what was on the outside. It was about what was on the inside that mattered. And certainly in her illness, it really didn't matter at that point because, I mean, you know, you're not going to be here forever anyway, so why do you worry about these things? And that's what the Lord said. Don't worry about all that stuff. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've got enough to worry about today without having to worry about tomorrow. You know, there are more people that are stressed out, beat up, worn out, worn down over what's going to happen in the future and the fear of what's going to happen in the future than if they would just go and ride with what's going on today. Now, look at James chapter 4. I mean, honestly, if you were to follow the Lord's command in Matthew chapter 6 there, you know your life would be a lot less stressful. It takes the worry out of life to not on tomorrow. Now, James chapter 4, verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Well, the Lord said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. James says it's evil for you to rejoice about the things that you're going to do tomorrow. All such boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. What does he say that you ought to say then? He says in James chapter 4, verse 15, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now that's true. Lord willing, we say. Lord willing. Years ago, we had a friend of ours, still a friend of ours. He comes to see us every year, but when we were living in Florida, we had a friend, and we made his acquaintance because we had to have our car serviced from time to time, and I didn't know how to service the car. I didn't have the money to send it into a mechanic with a regular shop and pay his normal hourly wage. And so this fellow would, as a ministry to students, would come by and work on our cars at our homes. And we started visiting one day, and I was talking about something I was going to do tomorrow. He said, yeah, Lord willing. You know, that kind of irritated me. It sounded sort of condescending, you know. And the next time he and I were together, I was talking about something I was getting ready to do tomorrow, and he said, yeah, Lord willing. And I said, you know, I realize that the Bible says that. I mean, you almost seem to be religious about it. He said, but it's the truth. If the Lord's not willing, if things change, you won't be there doing that tomorrow. You know, and it really stuck in my mind that what he had said was absolutely the truth. And so when I correspond with people or talk with people about plans that we're making, what are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do tomorrow? I'll say, well, Lord willing, we'll be over there to do that. And I say it because James said that I ought to say it. Because if the Lord's not willing or if something changes, I'm not going to be there. I may be in a hospital room. I don't want to be in a hospital room, but, you know, that could as easily happen as anything else. And so, Lord willing, we will do this or we will do that. You see, what you and I have to always remember is that things change very, very rapidly. And suddenly, all the plans that you had get thrown out the window. And now you're on some new plans. And I mean, that kind of stuff can happen to you in a moment. I'll give you some good examples from the Bible, only to drill into your mind and into my mind that we have absolutely no business whatsoever boasting of tomorrow. Because we don't know what's going to happen with the rest of this day, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, honestly, give you an example before we go off into the Bible. This doesn't say that you are to simply neglect future planning. That'd be a bad thing. I mean, there are many times when we've got to make plans for the future. For instance, in the church, in the orderly business of the church, we have missionaries that come in from time to time. Well, we have to schedule those guys well in advance of their arrival here because they're filling up their calendars, and we've got a calendar that we're operating on here as well. All right, they'll be here. They'll preach. They will tell us about their burden for missions in the particular field that God has called them. Lord willing. We have to plan ahead. With this radio broadcast daily, there are times when I have to travel to go and preach, or sometimes we'll travel as a family and I won't be here for a couple of days. In that instance, all this that you hear has got to be recorded ahead of time. And so we've made plans, you see. For tomorrow, it's important to do that. By the time you get to retirement age, if you haven't set aside some money to take care of you in retirement age, you might not find yourself in a situation where you can continue on doing the things that you want to do without being a burden to somebody else because you don't have any money on which to live. So the fact that a man would exercise some wisdom by providing for himself when he's no longer able to work or making plans about what he's going to do on certain dates in the future. There's nothing wrong with that if he understands that things can change immediately and things can change drastically. So he's got to always express it this way. When I retire, Lord willing, I will do this or I'll do that. You see, because he may be planning on retirement and then he may go through something like the Enron deal or the airline deal, and suddenly he's not in a position where he can't afford to retire. Then he's got to work. Well then, Lord willing. See? You can't boast of not know. Let's look at some examples here. Luke chapter 12, okay? Keeping in mind that you do make plans for the future, you make those plans in accordance with the Lord's will, and you don't know what the Lord's will is for the day in which you've made the plan. So you got to go with the flow, you see. You got to go with whatever happens to you that day. It may not be exactly like you expected. It usually isn't. Now look in Luke chapter 12, look at verse 16. There was a man that was concerned about covetousness, and the Lord was giving instruction in this parable about that. But notice what he says. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. This guy just had presumably one of the best farming years that he's ever had since he's been in the business. He has ended up with such a supply of grain, he does not have enough room for everything that he's made. So build bigger barns. And then just cook back and take it easy for a while. No need to stress the soil. I've got more than I'll need for a long time to come. But he didn't realize he was going to die that night. Things change in a hurry, you see. That's why Solomon said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's why the Lord said, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's why James said, if the Lord will, we'll go to this city and we'll do that and we'll do this. All right, take another look. What you just saw in Luke chapter 12 was a very bad thing. Something changed in a hurry that was a very bad thing. A man lost his life when he was just set up for retirement. It was a bad thing. But now let's look at something on the good side. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 7 and look at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 7 and look at verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria? Now, what's going on there? Well, in Samaria, if you read from 2 Kings chapter 6, and we won't take the time to read all of that, there was a famine in the land, and the king was besieged in Samaria by the Syrians. Now, what happened is simply that because Ben-Hadad, the Syrian king, had besieged the city of Samaria, they ran out of food. I mean, that's what you'd do in a famine too, you know. They ran out of food. And therefore, when they run out of food, they're going to starve to death unless they capitulate to the king, Ben-Hadad. All right, it got so bad that two women who were together, both having infant babies, made a deal. They decided to boil one baby and eat it today, and tomorrow they'd boil the next baby and eat it tomorrow, right? Well, the first one gave up her child. They ate it the second day when it came time to give up a child. The lady said, nothing doing. I'm not going to do it. And so the woman who had already given up her child cried to the king, and he said, what do you expect me to be able to do? And then Elisha said, oh, by the way, there's no need to worry about boiling the baby, and there's no reason to worry about the Syrian army that's besieged the city, and there's no reason to worry about the terrible, terrible economic situation that we're in right now where, what is that, a cab of dove's dung was sold for so much. No, he says, it's going to work out real fine tomorrow. Sounds like Annie almost, doesn't it? Tomorrow it's going to work out fine. Because tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Basically indicates that there's going to be so much flour and so much barley that the supply is going to be so great that people will sell it cheap just to get rid of it. And the Lord, in verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 7, said, this is the Lord on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God, and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. What happened? Four lepers said, you know what? Hanging around here isn't going to do us any good. We might as well go over to the Syrian army. At least maybe if we die there, they'll kill us quick, or maybe we'll find something to eat. You know, they may have some mercy on us. Well, they went out there into the wilderness where the Syrians were. There wasn't anybody there. Clothing and possessions scattered all over the place. These people were hightailing out of there just like they had just seen a ghost. Well, the lepers were so excited, they started hiding the spoil, and then they said, you know what, this is a good day. We can't do this. We're wrong. We need to go tell somebody about it. And they went and told the king. And the king was cautious, and he sent out sentries, and they checked it out, and sure enough, the thing was true. The Syrians had fled according to a rumor that God had sent them and left all of their possessions. It took them 3 days or something like that to gather everything that was out there. And there was such a stampede of people going out there to collect the spoil that this Lord who said, what, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Showing his doubt. He got trampled. So obviously he saw it with his eyes, but he didn't get to enjoy any of it because they'd killed him running out of town. You know, things can change in a hurry. On one hand, the man has so much, he thinks, well, I'm going to live off this for the rest of my life, and dies that night. On the other hand, everybody thinks, we're going to die tonight, and the next thing you know, they got so much they can survive for a long time to come. Wow. Who in the world could have made provision for a future like either one of those? You can't. Why? Because it all happens so very, very quickly. So the caution is, number one, don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, it may never come. And the second thing is that if you do make plans, then make those plans in accordance with God's will. That way you can say, Lord willing, I will do this or that. And you'll be right if the Lord's willing, see? Notice this. I mean, looking how quickly things can change, look in 1 Kings chapter 22. Here's Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 22. He has decided to fight with Jehoshaphat of Judah against the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead to go back and take possession of the land that had been taken away from them. So he gets all his prophets together. And they say, oh, you bet, Mr. King, Mr. So-and-so, go over there and fight the battle and win. You're the great king. You go win. You're such a cool guy. So he says, okay, well, Jehoshaphat's hesitant. He says, we better get a prophet in here of the Lord to testify to us. And Ahab said, I don't like him, but you can get him. And they got Micaiah. And Micaiah said, basically, in so many words, king, you're going to die. The king didn't listen to him. So he went into the battle disguised. He didn't wear his kingly garments like Jehoshaphat did. The army surrounded Jehoshaphat, but when he cried out, they spared him. And a man drew a bow at a venture and shot Ahab between the shoulders that he died. At a venture, just a lucky shot. Ahab said on his way out to the war, put this fellow in the prison, talking about Micaiah, because he said something bad about the king. He said, you're going to die. And feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. You see that? You know what he forgot? Lord willing. He made some plans against the counsel of God that cost him his life. Feed him until I come in peace. Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. And sure enough, the Lord had spoken by Micaiah, and the fellow died. Listen. The disciples were walking along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything's hunky-dory. He goes to Jerusalem and even warned them he was fixing to die. Then all of a sudden he died, and they were shell-shocked. 3 days later, he arose from the dead. It happened so suddenly they didn't even believe it happened. Things like that are prophesied in the Bible to let you know that they will happen when God's good and ready for them to happen, and you got to be ready. You know what's getting ready to happen next on God's calendar as it concerns you and me? The rapture. And if you're all tied up worrying about this and that that hadn't even happened yet, and all laying up all this money for your retirement and not rich toward God like that poor guy was in Luke chapter 12, the rapture could come tomorrow and your opportunity to do something for God with that money will be gone. Or that opportunity to witness to your brother or your sister, that opportunity to witness to your neighbor, that opportunity to witness to your boss or your employee, your spouse, your loved ones will be gone. You say, well, I'll get to that tomorrow. Why don't you talk to them tonight? Why don't you get them and go to church with them tonight and let them hear the gospel? Because you know something? Tomorrow you may not be here. Tonight, the Lord may blow the trumpet and whoosh, you're out of here. And then there won't be an opportunity for you to go back and witness to him. You will be gone. You say, well, I'll get to that tomorrow. Some of those things shouldn't ought to wait. Do you know that Jesus Christ is coming back? And when Jesus Christ comes back, he comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You ready for that? I'm telling you, man, the thing that you and I have got to remember is that God has some things on his calendar according to his will, and your plans may or may not be on that calendar. All of these things that we've described happen in a moment, in an hour, when thou thinkest not. Matthew 24:44 says, in such an hour as thou think not, the Son of Man cometh. Quick, quick. So listen, two things to get from this when he says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't worry about it. And when you plan ahead according to God's will. And when you speak of your plans in the future, you say, I'll do this, Lord willing. And if the Lord's willing, you'll do it. And that's all there is to it. Pretty simple lesson, but great importance.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.